My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations and use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he's still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hour number 2. I've got a little water on my wrist here. I was getting another cup of coffee, and I'm not sure exactly where that came from, but that's all right. Anyway, welcome. Good to have you with me. Let me see if I can get straightened out here in front of the camera. So I got my picture on the wrong side of the screen, I think. I did this, you know, and I noticed this from last time. So let's try and do it like that. Okay, see, so now the camera and my picture are in the same spot. And so, see, before I'd be looking over here because that's where the thing is. And my guests are actually on this screen over here until I bring them onto the main screen on screen. And so I know it's kind of confusing for them because I'm sitting here. The camera's directly in front of me here, but they're sitting over here. So they're like going, okay, is he talking to me? Is he got somebody over here he's actually talking to? And I'm just kind of a side note. But no, you really are the, you're the main thing. It's just, it's all about camera positioning. So I welcome my main guest here. And look, see, I'm right here, David. Now we're set. I got you in the screen and the whole bit. Dr. David Wormser, Center for Security Policy, and our expert on Israel joins me. Welcome. Good to have you.
Great to have you. I don't need any help in being confused. I do that pretty well myself.
All alone. I understand. See, I don't know. It's just that whole transparency thing. It was funny. I'd run into people at grocery stores and they would ask me questions that were kind of personal, right? And I'd be like, how did they know? And then I'd realize, oh yeah, dummy, you said something about it on your program. That's how they know. Anyway, all right. Well, hey, so things continue to be, I mean, things haven't calmed down over there. As a matter of fact, we just had a seminar through Save the Persecuted Christians. Hang on, I feel like I'm going to sneeze here, but maybe not. Maybe I can get away without doing that. But talking about Uzbekistan and the Armenian genocide that's happening over there on the border and really under the approval that of Turkey.
Yeah, you have that salient of Armenians that are cut off, and right now cut off geographically, but now they're actually physically cut off, and they're essentially being starved out and oppressed. Through that, it's essentially just an attempt to ethnically cleanse the area of Armenian Christians, and that's under Azerbaijan, which is aligned with Turkey. So I think at the end of the day, this is Turkey. Erdogan is quite behind it.
How dangerous, you know, because I'm looking at it, and I know that this has to be a concern for Israel as well, but you've got Nigeria. I had a guest on last week. We talked about how the Muslim president of Nigeria is pushing for an Islamic Republic in Nigeria. Azerbaijan, as we just talked about, you know, you've got that. I mean, there should be no, this is the unfortunate thing. The reality is that Erdogan, by his actions, seems to want an Islamic Republic in Turkey, irrespective of how they try to frame it to the world. And now, you know, sadly, here in America, and I don't know how much you and I've talked about this. We've got about 20 minutes to try to jam all this in. But it seems as though, like, you've got, you know, social media guys like Andrew Tate, as an example, sat down with Candace Owens. And, you know, he was Christian and now he's Muslim because in his opinion, Islam's standing for something. They're standing for some kind of moral value, missing the point, I think, of how they actually teach the treatment of women and things of that nature that are slanted from what would be a Christian biblical worldview. But nonetheless, it seems to me that there's reason to be. And then Iran, which was just handed $6 billion to a nation that we already know has nukes.
Yeah, it was admitted that it was $6 million, but what a lot of researchers are finding, the State Department just isn't being honest. They also say it's not ransom, but it's clearly ransom. It's probably closer to 20, 25 billion, not six. But, the numbers don't matter. It's the fact that we're funding the Iranian regime's survival and activities.
Right.
And those activities include terrorism against Americans, religious activities in the United States to radicalize Muslims in America. The Iranian government has been caught funding clerics and structures in the United States that are today basically radicalization structures, but they could also be sort of a structure for terrorism. They fund the nuclear program and they fund the repression of Iranians in Iran. So this money is blood money. I mean, this money is very, very tainted. And we keep maintaining, or at least the State Department maintains these fictions that, oh, no, it's only supposed to be spent on medicines and other goods. You give me $100, it doesn't matter where I spend it. It frees up my ability to spend it elsewhere if I was spending money on medicine. So,
yeah.
But you're right. I think overall, rather than the specific issue of the money for Iran, the bigger issue here is I think we need to step back and once again remind ourselves we're essentially in a holy war with Islamists. Whether it's Erdogan, whether it's what's happening in Nigeria, whether it's what's Iran's policy, whether it's what's happening in Detroit, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we are over the last 50 years in a relentless push to expand the world of Islam and to take down the world of Christianity and Judaism. And as a result, we sit here, and Andrew Tate's a good example. Instead of looking at the central problem here, which is this large assault, and B, the fact that we're trying to go into this assault unarmed. Unarmed meaning we've deluded ourselves into thinking that we cannot wage our values, our fundamental values. We can't hold our fundamental values as the foundation for our strategy. We can't allow Christianity and Judaism to inform our worldview. We have to become exactly like you have those people who want to take God out of the schools. Instead of freedom of religion, they want freedom from religion. They want to eradicate religion and don't want to have religion. Well, the problem is that if you're fighting somebody with strong ideas and all you have is a void, you're going to lose. So at the end of the day, one is the recognition of who the enemy is. But two is we're not recognizing our own our own failure here. The British could not be, even when the British knew perfectly well who the Nazis were, they still had to fight. And they still had to understand who the British were. Until they understand why Britain matters and why Britain is different than Nazi Germany, it doesn't matter how bad you think the Nazis are.
Well, this is
what you're fighting for.
The enemy of my enemies is my friend, and let me try to frame that for you, folks. So, the issue that we're facing is we've got a radical left, which is driven by Marxism, which is an anti-God system that has told us, and we've bought it, that our Bible and our God belong in our four walls. Barely, and they don't belong anywhere else. They cannot be used in the public square. No prayer, no Ten Commandments, no Bible reading, no Bibles in school, none of that. And yet, so they've stripped us, as you said, David, of that foundation. And yet we have Islam, whose only point of reference is the Quran and Allah, that is allowed with impunity to push that agenda and those concepts and those ideals under the covering of the same left.
Yeah. Well, the left, I mean, the further I go in studying, and I'd spend most of the rest of the week trying to study this nexus between the left and the Islamic world, because on the face of it, they should be hating each other. You know, the left believes in LGBT and blah, 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 and all that. In the Muslim world, you're executed for that sort of stuff. And yet they're the darling of the left. Women, absolute women rights on the left. And in the Muslim world, well, we see what the role of women are. So they should be enemies. But when you really get down to it, if you go back over the last 400 years, what you find is there's this constant theme of pro-Islam in the left, in the French Revolution and so forth, whether it's Napoleon or whether it's Rousseau, Rousseau, the philosophical foundation of the revolution, Napoleon, the way it manifested itself after a few decades. There's this constant belief in the Muslims being a positive force in Western politics, not just in Muslim politics, in Western politics. So I think this goes back far. But part of the alliance is, right now, is the progressives want to destroy the foundation of the West. So anybody, and this is where you get to what you said, which is the enemy of the enemy is my friend. For the progressives, anybody who takes down the core of American belief is good. Because once you have chaos and destruction, they think America is like a piece of clay and they can reshape in their socialist form. So they welcome any assistance from the Muslim world in taking down America.
Well, and Islam is happy to oblige because they present themselves as the alternative, and usually, and this is how they go in and take over. You have basically two alternatives. You either convert or you subjugate. Well, or the third one is you're killed. I mean, that's the reality. Now, Marxists historically have believed that they had the ability, and this is where the war, like in Russia, I mean, you know, the Russians have used Islamic terrorists, and then they've gone in behind those terrorists in certain situations and attempted a takeover of that country. And in some cases, they've been successful. In other cases, not so much. But that has been their MO, has been to allow Islam to kind of cleanse out the Christian and Jewish elements, and then they come in with the political structure to take over the country.
Yeah, I mean, when you go back to the earliest Islamic wars against the West, that was the pattern. They didn't come with 500,000 troops against 400,000 troops and fight a sophisticated battle where they won.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was it was a series of constant battering, withering raids, a war of attrition with a very loose command structure. So you couldn't point and say Muhammad ordered or Abu Bakr ordered. Very rarely could you have such a clear command. I mean, there were some major battles. We all know them, Qadisiyah, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, the preparatory structure was the constant raiding that happened before that, which economically and morally withers the enemy, so that when you have the thrust, you're basically going in against a weak enemy. The best example is Italy itself, is piracy on the high seas in the Mediterranean in the 8th century, essentially led to the coastlines of Italy being pulled back 10 miles. In other words, that the population's pulled back 10 miles from the coast to be not subjugated to these constant raids. Well, what happened was all the ports and the riverlets and so forth started silting up. So the entire trade of those areas began to wither. And by the time they got to Sicily and they got to southern France and they got to the Italian coastline, you had basically broken economies and broken societies that were hunkering down in castles 10 miles in. That's when the process of what's called encastellano, or the encastelization of the populations along the littoral coasts of the Mediterranean happened. And this was devastating. You see it in Israel as the constant use of terrorism to try to break, not only break the will of the Israelis, but to break the economy of the Israelis. So, but we in the West look at terrorism kind of as a crime problem. So we don't see the strategic aspects of it. We don't understand that it's actually a strategic assault in the most sophisticated and direct way against our soul. And strategy begins with your soul. If you don't know who you are and you don't have confidence in who you are,
right,
doesn't matter what strategy you come up with, you're not going to win.
Well, and two, I think kind of even further modern day for those who are saying, well, yeah, but that's, you know, that we're past that. We've evolved. Okay. They didn't, and we didn't either. We didn't get smart enough to figure it out. Number one, I would reference the Somali pirates, right? Okay. The exact same playbook being played. And then number two, I would reference Afghanistan. And, you know, we've seen the movies, you know, if you will. I watched, 12 Stones. It was the film about the 12 Americans that went into Afghanistan right after 9/11.
Oh, yeah. I know which one. Yeah.
You know, Chris Hemsworth and what have you. Great. And by the way, I looked it up. I mean, they said that it was, you know, very realistic. But anyway, my point is that, you know, that was the beginning, right? And then from there, the Russians came in and they tried and they failed. And it was, you know, and you had, if you think about, the Mel Gibson, the Vietnam, you know, war, right? And you think about that mountain, you know, that movie begins with the French being ambushed by the Vietnamese and slaughtered. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, and again, it's that, you know, kind of that same thing, but my point is what you're saying relative to, you know, how, there's these small factions, and it's just continual bombardment and terrorism and terrorism and terrorism until essentially whoever is there abandons.
It's just not worth the price. And that worth the price is driven by how solidly you believe in what you're doing.
Exactly.
Whether it's the existence of America or the resurrection of the land of Israel, or Christianity in its earth in its cradle, Christianity in the Middle East. And folks, Christianity was born in the Middle East. It's not only in ancient Israel, but the heart of Christianity up until the 7th century was really the lands of Syria, Lebanon, etc., Armenia, Turkey. This was the heartland of Christianity back then. So at the end of the day, we've already lost so much. We've convinced the Muslims we don't have a lot of will.
Yeah.
And that not only is a question of morale and the fact that they feel confident, but there's a reality to it. We don't have will. And again, this is the role of the progressives.
Yeah.
For the Muslims, the progressives are an incredible ally because they're making sure that the core, the will of the American people is destroyed. Whether it's our schools, whether it's our family structure, it doesn't matter. The foundations of what keeps a society together, strong, and a sense of bonding as a community are being systematically eradicated. And that for the Muslims is both the greatest strategic ally, but it's also their encouragement. They see this and they don't believe, despite our aircraft carriers, despite our F-35 fighters, despite the vast technological superiority the West has, They are 100% sure they're going to win this.
And they believe also, and it should also be pointed out as we close out, you know, that Islam also believes in an apocalypse. And they believe that they are the spear at the head of that is supposed to cause that apocalypse. They believe that they are Allah's messenger to create apocalypse. That's their ultimate goal is apocalypse. Everything and everyone should die that does not believe what they believe, and that they are the tip of the spear for the apocalypse. Final minute, David.
Yeah, no, I think that's the key point. When you really look at the origins of Islam, they are basically a collection of Christian heresies that evolved into a religion. And at the core of that is the core heresies that were rejected by mainstream Christianity, Gnosticism.
Yeah.
And so that gets right to what you're saying. And you have to understand that Judaism and Christianity moved in parallel, despite their differences. They moved in parallel to reject these heresies, even though they were Christian heresies, not Jewish heresies. The Jews also saw them as extremely dangerous, and therefore any temptation to go that way was rejected as well. And has already started being rejected about 400 BC, by the way, in Judaism. So they understood the dangers of Gnosticism and the idea this is really the core of Islam.
And Judaism had its own, I forget what that's called, but it was what Madonna practiced, the mysticism.
Kabbalah.
Yeah. Kabbalah. Exactly. Yeah. So it was the same that same essence had infiltrated, which was why God consistently became, you know, kind of disgusted with the Jewish people, because they kept drifting from the sweet spot that he had them in. They would, you know, oh, we're gonna try this.
It starts with the first five books of the Bible, Torah.
There you go. All right. Hey, thank you, my friend.
Everything else is added interpretation.
it's man's traditions versus the actual word. We talked about that this weekend, actually. All right, David, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate you being with me today. It was wonderful. Folks, we're going to take our break. We'll be back. Emery McClendon is on the other side. Hey, don't forget about your good health and taking care of yourself, because, man, I'll tell you, your health is so needed. Your physical health is so needed. You got to take care of this temple, so that what God's put into this temple and what you're designed to do, you have the strength and the energy and the fortitude to be able to accomplish. And you can do that through the Chosen Generation CGR Wellness. And let me show you exactly how to place that order. I'll show you that right now.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use, or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, this is Pastor Greg. I just want to take a minute to walk you through how to sign up at CGR Wellness. So you're going to type in www.cgrwellness.com. And that is going to take you over here, And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to come over here and you are going to, we're going to shrink this down so it doesn't get in our way. You're going to go right over here to create account. And it is going to offer you the opportunity to create an account. You've got to type in an email address. So we're going to type in an email address. Be good if I put a good one in there, right? There we go. And now, there is a window that pops up. Now, when this window pops up, here's what you need to do. You need to just X out. Just close that window. Okay? Just close that window. Now we go over here, and we'll use a strong password. And then we'll put in our name. And we'll put in our last name. And then we'll put in an address. And the city. And we'll choose our state. And we don't need a phone number. And it wants us to make sure that we're not a robot, so we'll do that. Wow. And we'll create the account. And now the account's been created. Now, there is a share code. I don't remember what it is right now, but it doesn't really matter. Now you'd go over here and type in Vibe. It's your first product you're looking for. And there is the fruit and veggies, superfood liquid multivitamin. Click on that. And you're going to order, I recommend that you order two, and I'll tell you why. If you order two of them and add those to the cart, now here comes the cart. Now, you're going to get your second bottle for half off when you type in Chosen Gen Radio. Chosen Gen Radio, and click apply. And that's going to give you $20 off. Plus, you're going to unlock free shipping. So now when you get your order, you'll get no shipping charge, 2 months worth for the price of a month and a half. And then you can go back over and you can securely check out, put in your billing information and so on, and you're off to the races. So that's how you do it. Nice and easy. Again, cgrwellness.com. When that little window pops up, just X out of it. You don't need that because you're going to get a $20 discount. Once you completed the form and created the account, go to the top, click in Vibe, and then go. Now, I use Vibe, Resvante, Ultra Shot, the EPA fish oil, the Flex, and I also use, this is your apple cider vinegar. And this is your ashwagandha. I use those as well. I'm going to run through this really quick with you. Again, omega-3. And then these products up here. Your Vibe. Your Resvante. The Ultra Shot. And the Flex. Those are the ones that I personally use every single day. I can recommend each and every one of those to you and just assure you that they do a great job. They've made a gigantic difference in my health. All right. God bless you. God bless your health. And thank you for supporting our Indian ministry through this as well. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. We've talked here before about this. We've had First Liberty, when it was called First Liberty, on a number of times to talk about what was happening at the United States Air Force Academy, where cadets were being reprimanded and even potentially drummed out of the academy for something as simple as putting a scripture verse on the chalkboard on their door in their dorm, where, oh, God forbid, somebody might see it. Or the young lady who was at her desk who put a scripture up to remind her of the job that she was doing and how important that job was, and to do it to the best of her ability. And of course, you know, we can't forget Chaps, who comes on this program regularly, who was almost drummed out of the Navy for simply praying in Jesus' name. The late Wes Motter, a chaplain who was set up in a marriage counseling session by suggesting that marriage is a virtuous thing between a man and a woman. Again and again, Christianity has been assaulted and attacked, and the woke agenda, the elimination of don't ask, the implementation of don't ask, don't tell under the Clinton years. And so my guest this morning with me is here to talk about, and Senator Tommy Tuberville has kind of picked up the baton on this to talk about the negative impacts that these woke policies have on our military and on the morale and on our troop readiness. And I'm very pleased to welcome fellow veteran Emery McClendon to the program this morning. Emery, welcome. Good to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, good morning, and thank you for having me on and to talk about this very important topic that seems to be escalating throughout our military and also throughout the ranks of our government employees. But actually, this is important because this involves our military readiness and our national security. And I'm so happy to see Senator Tuberville standing up for the rights of our soldiers and for the rights of the American taxpayers to stop, or try to stop, at least. He has been successful so far to stop the military from carrying on with these crazy woke doctrines and policies, which they seem to want to impose upon the military members and the taxpayers unilaterally.
Talk to me about you've written about this, because obviously they've come after the senator for having made these suggestions that there's a woke agenda that is being put forth in the military, and that the military, I guess, needs to be inclusive and sensitive and all of these things. If you'd be so kind, talk to me about the things that you're seeing with regards to this and why you believe this is such a significant issue.
Well, I think some of the things that I've been seeing and hearing about from friends of mine and people that I've served, people that I know that have joined the military, is that they're being sequestered as far as being able to voice their opinions about God, about country, about family, and about the norms in American society. And especially when it comes around to expressing their views about God, the Bible, and what they believe in, and how these factors should influence their lives, their daily lives, while serving in the military. And one thing that really got me going was I begin to see articles and see news broadcasts about some of the things that were going on in the military, and how Biden administration, of course, administrations prior to him, but especially the Biden administration, has doubled down on bringing in generals and commanders, base commanders, and people putting people in military positions of high authority to change policy and to bring in the woke policies, which are very detrimental to the moral substance and existence of our country and our military, rather than having these people go out and fight our wars, protect our nation, to support the interests of the United States around the world, they're doing social experiments with our soldiers. And this is a terrible thing, because our soldiers are not enlisted in the military to be used as examples of social experiments, but they are, they join the military so that they can serve their country and protect us and continue to carry on our allow us to carry on our constitutional freedoms and liberty.
Well, you know, and years back under the Obama administration, you know, I had done some investigating into this and talking with a number of people. And when Obama was instituting these policies, we had military soldiers over in places like Afghanistan, men who were raped by Afghan soldiers. And those assaults were brushed under the table, and they were treated, our soldiers were treated as though they were the bad guys in those particular issues. And it was some of the stories that I heard were just absolutely heartbreaking to hear, and it directly is reflective in these woke policies, Emory.
Oh, absolutely. And not only our men, but our women also in the military. And even some of the things that happened because of the woke policies, as far as having co-ed dorms and so forth, wasn't just the enemy. And then some of the commanders who were abusing and male and female members of the military. So, yeah, this is very disheartening. And it's for the average American person, it's unbelievable and hard to believe, because, you know, a lot of them don't have military experience. They don't really know what goes on in the military. And they have faith in their government, that the government is out there trying to do the things that are essential to protecting our freedoms and our interests. So what we need to do, and what has happened here is we have lost a lot of confidence around the world in our military, and our military has become an object of mockery and so forth. And this we cannot allow. So that's another reason why I'm glad to see that Senator Tuberville has stepped up to the plate, and he's spoken out against these policies and taken it so far as to be the one senator who is able to hold up a lot of these military high position promotions, and also to stop the instances of travel pay and using our taxpayer funding in opposition to what the Supreme Court has passed down to bring things back around to their norm, even though there's a big standoff right now, and this has been going on for a few months. I think Senator Tuberville has made a lot of people aware of what's going on in our military. I think we're going to see more people get aware, especially as people like me, we read articles in the newspaper of people who are pushing for more and more of this agenda, and then we strike back and say, hey, no, this is not what the American people want. We want the opposite. We want our military to do their jobs, and we want the military to stray away from these woke policies.
How does this impact, do you believe, troop readiness and our national security?
The woke policies impact troop readiness and our national security in measurable ways, because what it does is it gets our soldiers out of sync with what they're in the military for. Now, of course, we know that the Pentagon and some of our top-ranking generals who are, of course, we know from doing our research that a lot of these generals are liberals, and that they are products of the Biden and the Obama administration and some previous administrations. And their mindset is that they want to destroy the military. They want to make the military a social experiment. So they push these agendas. But what's happening here is it's not the men and the women themselves who are degrading our military. It's the policies that they are being forced to follow, and the policies that they are being forced to live with while serving in the military. Rather than being able to be open, rather than being able to get money allocated for training projects, for weapons, for the materials that they need to carry out their mission, these monies are being allocated for social experiments. And because of that, the Pentagon budget is being raped. The Pentagon budget, as far as being able to provide for our airplanes, our spare parts, our living quarters, things that help to make our soldiers be able to do their job better. These things are being substituted with all kinds of things such as, war theories, critical race theory, homosexual experiments, abortion, taking huge amounts of money and transporting people halfway around the world or halfway across the country just to receive abortions or so-called, quote-unquote, health care, which is really not health care at all.
It's absolutely stunning that the... So, and it's funny because when we talk about these things, they say to us, these are social agenda issues, and they push us aside and tell us to be quiet because there's more important things to talk about. Yet in our military, diversity, equity, environment, social, and governance, those concepts are nothing more than social reengineering.
That's absolutely true, and they have no place in the military because, as a colleague that we all were very fond of when he was alive, Rush Limbaugh, used to say, the purpose of the military is to break and to destroy things and to make sure that we're able to protect and defend those interests of our country. And we're not able to do that when you're teaching our soldiers that they have to be diversified, that they have to not believe in the actual country and the military that they serve in, that you're serving in a demon organization, and so therefore we have to reprogram you to make you more aware of what's going on around you so that you won't be able to go out and perfectly defend the country because America has a problem. And rather than fix the problem from the outside and protecting it from enemies from the outside, you turn our soldiers into the enemy from the interior. And our soldiers are not our enemy. They're our loved ones. They're our family members who joined the military because they wanted to, in fact, serve the country and to do what's right for America. Where were these people when President Trump was trying to build the military back up to the levels that Ronald Reagan had built it up to, when he wanted to make our military strong again so that a strong military would be a deterrent to all the other nations around the world who felt that they wanted to destroy America or attack America or bring on a destruction to this country. We need a strong military. We don't need a military that's going around acting like a bunch of sissies, and we don't need a military with leaders in it that are breaking our people down and discouraging our people and encouraging them to not re-enlist, but to get out of the military and go back into civilian life.
No, there's no question. Okay, let me see. I've been looking for, and I finally found it. This was what I wrote, Emery. And my goodness, this was back in, hang on a minute, 2014. In 2014 is when I wrote this based on actual events. A soldier has just spent the last 72 hours on patrol searching for a high-level target who has just blown up a highly sensitive building and who it is believed has plans on more destruction. This following the previous 72-hour shift, which ended with two losses of life by IEDs, one MRE, and 2 hours of sleep, if you want to call it that. Knowing the names has made it more difficult. So to keep that at a minimum, everybody is Bob or John, or if they are particularly interesting, Oliver. It's not a lack of caring, but a heart can only take so much pain. There's a small band of brothers who you would die for, but the new guys are all the same till they've been in country at least 6 months. Having finally come in and not knowing when you are going again, with more sand in your eyes than on your boots, you tell your battle buddy you have to get a shower. He's already out. You decide that though you've heard the rumors about Iraqi troops looking for guys alone in the shower to rape for some higher level of Islamic heaven, you cannot wait. You take your necessities and make your way to the shower. You're careful to look and you circle the tent at least 7 times. Finally, you duck in. The water feels great, and for once there's warm water. You finish lathering up and are almost rinsed when you feel a sharp pain in the back of your head. Instinct takes over and you begin to repel the aggressor, only to discover there are 6 of them, and you are on your stomach before you can react. The next 30 minutes are a blur of pain, blood, and shame. They leave you on the floor with the water running and clean themselves over you. You manage to stand. It is unbelievable pain, and you pass a mirror. You notice why your vision is blurred. You can only see out of one eye. You stumble back to your tent and pass out on your bed. The next you know, your battle buddy's waking you. What happened to you? He says. You mutter, but nothing comes out. Did you go out drinking? Why didn't you go to bed? You look like hell. You'll have questions to answer, buddy. And so will I. So what happened? At first you think it was a nightmare, but you make your way to a small mirror in the tent used to make sure you are properly dressed for an inspection. When you look in the mirror, you know it was real. Slowly you tell your battle buddy, who's furious, did you see them? Can you identify them? Let's go deal with this. About that time, your direct commander appears on the scene as your buddy's gotten pretty loud and a crowd has gathered. He motions everyone to leave. He starts to ask you questions. You give him the best details you can remember. He gives you a temporary leave and tells you to report to the infirmary. You do as instructed. At the infirmary, they say they need to gather evidence. Poking and probing, they ask you if you are in sexual relationship to determine the extent of the damage. You tell them never with a guy. They look at each other and make notes. Next, they take and begin their rape kit. After several hours of waiting, the MPs show up and you're taken to a holding cell. No pictures of the assailants are presented and no drawings are requested. Soon, in comes 2 officers, 1 American and 1 Iraqi. The American has a strange way about him. He says that in the report, you were quick to say you had never had a relationship with a man. Do you have a problem with homosexuals? He asks. Did you have a fight with a boyfriend? Have you had consensual sex before? It is common here, you are told. The questions make no sense. You were raped, and they act like it is your problem. You ask them why the Iraqi officer is there. You're told that it is their country, and since you accuse their officers, they are very concerned over such accusations, and that American soldiers have been caught lying in many of these instances. With that, they excuse themselves, and you're left alone. The whole issue is now swimming around in your head. You want to just go back to your squad and head out again. Sir, can I return to duty, you inquire? No one speaks to you. Several more times you inquire. No response. Finally, another officer appears. He has a lower rank with him. Your swollen eye is making it difficult to make things out. He says you need to sign some paperwork and then you can go home. Home? Yes, in cases where there is an altercation with foreign nationals of this nature, it's best that you're shipped home. Altercation? I was... Attacked, you say. Yes, we understand that this is what you believe happened. However, due to sleep deprivation, dehydration, and your general mental condition, coupled with your predisposed prejudice against homosexuals, we believe that this is not what you think that it is. Now a paper is slid in front of you. Sign this and you go home. Don't sign and you'll be brought up on charges of falsely accusing foreign officers. This will require a lengthy trial and you'll be turned over to the Iraqis for imprisonment. How could this be? You sign and are shipped home. When you arrive at home, you're debriefed and told you're not to discuss the incident and you'll be taken to tolerance training courses and doing community service in the gay community. Your friends are puzzled by your behavior. Your wife doesn't even feel she knows who you are. You try to take a shower, but the fear is too great to overcome. Simply walking around the base alone becomes a nightmare. How do you tell your father, a decorated soldier, what was done to you? How do you tell anyone? How could you let this happen, you ask yourself. You slip further and further away, and no one knows why. But you do. You were led like a lamb to slaughter. When they should have had your back, they castrated your front. You served, gave blood, lost friends, and then you were thrown to the dogs. You come home to find the very types of perverts that did this to you now have all the power, and you have none. They taunt you and make threats to you. You attempt to use the chain of command, and the nightmare starts to repeat itself all over again.
What a shame. And then this is what happens in a woke community, especially in a society such as our military, where the soldiers basically have no rights except under the military form of justice. And they tell you something like, which they told this young man, he can't say anything, he can't speak out. And this is why I am so happy to see Senator Tuberville bring all of this stuff to the forefront. And hopefully more will come to the forefront, because these issues are not very well known among the American public. Some of us that have served in the military, of course, served during the Vietnam era, and we didn't see this kind of thing taking place. The transitioning was just beginning in the early 1970s, the 1980s, but it went helter-skelter in the 2000s, the late 2000s. Yeah. And now our military has basically turned into the laughingstock of the world. And what used to be the finest fighting force in the world is now basically a social experiment that allows almost anything, takes the word of everyone except those who actually work for us and are supposed to be defending us. And this is the kind of thing that I'll stop. You know, one of the things that gets me is like, and they keep yelling about the senator and others who agree with what he's trying to do, breaking down military readiness. They also talk about he's doing is stopping promotions and stopping these generals and other high-ranked officials from being nominated to military boards or military commissions and so forth. But the problem of it is, what happened during the Trump administration when he was trying to get his people through? Why is it that they're wanting to get these woke and socially depravant military members in our high-ranking positions? They talk about the money that's being wasted. The money that's being wasted is the money that's being wasted that we're giving to these other countries and their other militaries and these terrorist groups by turning over equipment that shouldn't be theirs, turning over our military expenditures and our assets, and also losing the military because of all these work policies. That's the problem.
No question, brother. There's no question. And it is, I mean, how can you, you know, and this is why we had so many that left. And then we had another group. I mean, under the Obama administration, they gave people their walking papers and said, you have a choice. You can walk or we'll find some reason to destroy everything you've worked for the last 20 years.
Yeah, and they actually put them over a barrel.
Yep.
And a lot of these people had families, they had children, they had a career. Some of them served in the military for a number of years.
And we're at our final minute, but I mean, a perfect example of that is General Michael Flynn and what they did to him.
Yes.
If you're saying, oh, come on, Pastor, no, look what they did to Michael Flynn. And they, you know, his was very public, high level. But that same kind of nonsense, false accusations, false charges, because he wouldn't bow, because he wouldn't stop speaking out, because he wouldn't lay down. That's exactly what they threatened others with. Emery, thank you for your battle for this. Thanks for fighting for this. Thanks for your continued raising of your voice on these issues. I greatly appreciate it, brother.
Greatly appreciate your pleasure of being on, and I hope this will wake many people up, that they will look into these issues and continue to support the senator and what he's trying to do for the American people.
Amen. Amen. All right, we got to take our break. Hour number three coming up right after this. Lots more coming up here on Chosen Generation Radio, including bottom of this next hour. We'll be talking about what's going on in Hawaii with a gentleman who has a firsthand account. We'll be back with more coming up right after this brief break.